Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today, I am privileged to be joined by Rabbi Moshe Kaufman, Rav of Adas B'nai Yisrael in Chicago and the Menahel of the Midwest Beis Hayroah. Thank you, Rabbi Kaufman, for joining us here on Let's Talk Kashrus.
Okay, thank you for inviting me. We want to discuss today the idea of making a simcha. It's a very exciting time, very overwhelming time. A person wants to get as much help as possible. That's always the advice you're given. Don't try to do too much yourself. So you hire a party planner, or you do it yourself. You hire your own help, and inevitably there's going to be wait staff, cleanup staff, goyim that are doing a lot of work for you. And great, fantastic. They don't have to worry about Shabbos, but there are amir la'akum concerns that are a lot of times overlooked. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows you can't tell a goy to do malacha for you. You have to hint to him exactly how to hint to him. Everyone figures out a way how to do it, good or bad, but everyone figures out a mahalach, mm-hmm. how to hint to the goy. What's lesser known is the concept that's in the Shulchan Aruch, that besides not telling a goy to do malacha, actually benefiting from a goy's malacha is aser. So a goy comes into your house, he sees that the light's off in the playroom, and he wants to turn it on for you, so he goes in and he turns it on. You don't say a word. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to benefit, and you can't use that room,
right,
because you're getting hana from his malacha, even if he doesn't say a word. The reason is because you're going to get used to it. You know, last Shabbos, the neighbor just came in and did it on his own. This week, you'll just tell him straight out. So therefore, Chazal said you can't even get a benefit from him. So mm-hmm. even if you manage to hint to him, but that's only if you're to take away a problem, like shutting off a light, perhaps. But to get him to do something that you're going to be the beneficiary of, mm-hmm. so that's not going to be okay. And there are a lot of situations where a person won't know this halacha. For example, and these are shalas that come usually after the fact, because mm-hmm. on Shabbos, when it happens, you can't call a rav, and you know there's no one there in your house to paskin the shaila. So people try their best, and then matzah Shabbos, they go to the rav and say, "This is what happened," mm-hmm. and that's where most of the shalas come from. So the family, it was very busy. They forgot to plug in the hot plate, and they were going to put things on for Shabbos day
to keep warm.
Things that weren't any bishul concern, but it wasn't plugged in. It wasn't plugged in. So they realized after the Suda Friday night. So they said, no problem. They told the guy that the hot plate is cold, which is a great hint, mm-hmm. right? So he realized on his own that he's supposed to plug in the hot plate. So he went and he plugged in the hot plate. They can't use that hot plate on Shabbos, mm-hmm. because even though they didn't actually say anything, but they can't be the beneficiary.
They're being nana from
Malacha. That's right. They're being nana. And it's a problem. Like a more creative case was, I came into a simcha, it was after the Kiddush was over, but they were setting up for lunch, and they're putting candles as centerpieces for the Suda Shabbos, right? And they're lighting the candles to be, you know, these floating candles, beautiful, it looked beautiful, right? The problem is that there's no heter for them to be nene from that beautiful centerpiece by them lighting the fire. Uh-huh. And these are many, many shilas come up, but once you know these two ideas, one, almost everyone knows, you can't ask a guy straight out to do malacha. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't ask him, you can't be a beneficiary of that halacha. Once a person knows that, so then it slows things down. There are exceptions, we'll talk about that in a second, mm-hmm. but we had two cases back to back, same exact shila in two different shuls. They ran out of ice, it's hot, it's a hot season right now, and they ran out of ice. So one of the attendees of the simcha went over to one of the wait staff and said, sir, we ran out of ice. So he gets the hint right away. He's been by enough Jewish simchas. So he gets in his car and he drives to the store and he buys 3 bags of ice and he brings it back. Mm-hmm. So is that okay? Is that not okay? So, well, no one told him to do it.
Right.
No one told him to do it, but he definitely did it for us.
Right.
He definitely did it for us. And therefore, this is highly questionable whether that ice was going to be used. We had a simcha in our shul a couple of weeks ago. A party planner was there. Made sure, okay, Rabbi Kaufman said, you got to ask, you can't ask on Shabbos, so you can't get it on Shabbos. I'm going to ask him on Friday. And the guy forgot. Mm-hmm. So she turns to him and says, where's the ice? He's like, ooh, I forgot. She's like, okay, forget it. And he's like, wait, I'll be back. And he runs out to get it. In the meantime, she sends a message. It's the middle of Musaf. To ask whether that ice is going to be usable, can they put it out uh-huh. at the simcha? You know, and it's not outside, people are coming in,
right.
and the pressure is on. But it's a good shiloh that was asked about using the ice, because you can't be a beneficiary of mm-hmm. of that ice. But this is something that people don't think of. They go, what do you mean? I didn't say anything to the guy. He did it on his own. And this is something that really comes up quite often. There are exceptions to this. There are exceptions, and sometimes it might even be mutter to say straight out to the person that they could, to the guy that they could do it. You don't even have to, you know, hint to them. Hint. You can tell it straight out. One of them, it's because I don't know, something that would be a psikresha, meaning the act that I asked them to do is not a malacha, but they end up doing a malacha. A classic example would be to open the fridge. They forgot to shut the light off in the busyness of the simcha. They forgot to make sure that the light was shut off in the fridge, and, you know, put it into Shabbos mode, whatever they do. And so now what do you do? So Reb Moshe has a tshuva about it. He says you can actually ask the guy to open the door because he's not trying to turn on the light. Right. He's not thinking about the light. He's just opening the door. On a technical level, opening the door is mutter. All right. So that would be mutter.
So because it's a secretio, so that's okay.
Right. That's right. You know, they had
you don't have to hint to the guy. You can ask the guy straight out.
Yeah, because what you're saying is not us. There's nothing wrong with opening the fridge. The problem is opening the fridge turns on the light. So as long as I don't say turn on the light, then that would be okay. Same thing with cutting a cake, which they had a birthday cake. It was Bubby's birthday, and they wrote on the cake, and that was, so how could you have a whole huge cake, all the Ein Klecha there? So, how are you not going to cut this cake on Shabbos? So the Torah says you can ask a guy to cut it, because he's just cutting the cake. The fact that the letters are being cut, he's not having any kavana whatsoever for my cake on any level. So therefore, that would be okay.
I imagine another example that you're allowed to ask a guy is in a scenario where what you're asking could be done not al yidei malacha, and he decides to do it al yidei malacha.
The other point that we need to keep in mind is a malacha he's doing for himself, you're allowed to be the beneficiary of, right? If he's doing it for himself. Right. What defines doing it for himself is, like you said, he doesn't have to do it in an usser way, he could do it in a mutter way.
Right.
But that depends how realistic is the mutter way. Mm-hmm. So a person has a cleaning lady, or, you know, some cleaning help, and they're mopping the floor. So the mopping the floor could involve a diaraisa of schita, of malabain, right? A bunch of diaraisas. So you say, well, they don't have to use a mop. They could get on their hands and knees and scrub it out. Most people are not asking the cleaning lady to do that, especially Hanukkah cleaning ladies. You know, they have the upper hand, right? We're very careful in making sure we treat them nicely so that they don't walk on us, right? Especially close to Yom Tov time. So not necessarily are we asking them to go across our entire floor. Kitchen, living room, dining room, and asking them to scrub everything. It could be if there's one spot on the floor, Chalon fell somewhere and it's really messy, that we would ask. Mm-hmm. So then you could ask her, can you clean up this mess? And then if she decides to do it in a usserdik way, that's her prerogative. But to say that we're going to clean up the entire house with a mop because it's mutter, because she could do it in a mutter way, that's not really so practical. Mm-hmm. But if there'd be a practical way to do it, washing dishes, assuming that would be okay, you need them for Shabbos, you're not washing them to put away for. So then,
and if she decides to use hot water,
that would be okay, because
soap and so on.
The barometer I always use is, what if it wasn't available? What if the hot water wasn't available? Then you would just wash the water with cold water. As opposed to, let's say, the mop. If the mop wasn't there, so then
she probably won't do it.
That's right. We'll do it next time. Right. And that's usually a good way of knowing. Using an elevator.
That's a good barometer.
That's right. Using an elevator. If it's one floor up, then maybe you could say he's doing it for himself. If it's 30 floors,
right,
then it's not really so viable to do, but that does come up. So I would say the ice situation, if he goes and gets ice for himself, then everyone else could benefit from it, but that's only if he's really going for himself. If he's going for you, and then after he brings it, you're like, here, have a piece of ice, that's not really called going for himself.
Right.
That's real going for you, and then you're going to be nice. We got a Shaila today, we're on the way in, about taking pictures. A party planner called and said it's very common that the Bali Simcha want pictures of the decor from the Shabbos morning Kiddush that was set up on Shabbos. And you don't even have to tell the guy, you could just tell the guy it would be so nice to have to have memories of the beautiful Simcha, and they would understand right away to take a picture, right? So now if they say, so what should I do? Or should I take a picture? You can't answer yes, because that's basically telling them what to do. But you could tell them, I can't tell you what to do.
But why is it permitted to ask them? Why is it permitted?
It wouldn't be permitted to ask them. It would not be permitted to ask them, for sure not. But the question is, let's say they do it on their own. So can you benefit from the use of the picture? Would that be okay? So in the Arche Shabbos, in Perichov Gimel, he has a piece on this, and he says, no, it would not be okay, because you're benefiting from a malacha. That the guy is doing. Now, normally there's a concept of kidei shayasa. I can't benefit for the amount of time it takes. The guy cooks up water in an urn. He puts water in an urn to heat up. I have to wait the amount of time, Matzah Shabbos, it takes for the urn to heat up. But here, it's you can't wait till Matzah Shabbos. The Kiddush is over. You can't take this picture again. So he wants to say, and other places can say similar, is that you can never benefit from this picture. Because it's not something that could be recaptured after Havdalah. Right. It's very unique to Shabbos. There are people that get around it somehow, you know, so you have to you have to work it out, you know, ask your own child. But the main idea is that when a person goes into a simcha, you know, the same way that you would plan everything out, so just make sure that the shilas are asked and the rav that they're close to is brought sort of into the conversation. This is what we want to do. This is what we like to do. A person made a simcha with goldfish centerpieces.
Oh, really?
Yes, meaning there were little bowls of goldfish throughout the thing because I think it was a bar mitzvah and the bar mitzvah really loved fish. So they decided to do this theme. Now, is that okay to have the goyim going and putting out fish? Maybe yeah, maybe not. But it's certainly something you need to think about.
Right.
I need a process. Could you ask a goy to move muksa? There's Ramah that seems to say yes. What are the parameters? So these are things that people need to know. But it's always kedai to keep that in mind.
Right. And I would say that just this whole discussion that you brought up here is relevant to people making simchas at home, whether they're making a simcha in a simcha hall, in a shul hall, at Kiddushim, is also an issue.
Sure. You know, when people do a simcha in their house, they feel more like they're in charge and they have to know everything that's going on. Once they do it in the shul, so all of a sudden it's like the shul somehow is responsible for this, and people will come over to the rav or someone involved in the shul, like, what's going on? Like, it's the Baal Simcha, and if they make a party planner, for sure they're not involved, because that's the party planner's job, is to make everything happen, and there's a lot of, you know, confusion. A person really needs to be on top of the situation to make sure that everything is done properly.
I'll just share. I know a recent scenario where someone made a kiddush in a shul, and for whatever reason, when the waiters came in the morning, the warmer was unplugged from the wall. So the guy on his own plugged in the warmer because, you know, after all, they're going to need hot kugel for the kiddush. So, you know, I'm just an example where just as an aside, we're here on Let's Talk Kashrus. We talk about Kashrus, you know, of the kashrus of the food. We're talking largely about Hilchos Shabbos, but people have to be aware of having a yid present by these events to even see such a thing.
Right.
If this yid hadn't seen the guy doing that,
you
wouldn't
even
know that the guy did it.
Right, for sure not. For sure not. And there's a lot of questions, having him use the Erev, removing props, overnighting something. That's like an emergency for the simcha. That's unfortunately a common shaila.
Wow.
Ripping tinfoil tablecloths, opening packages, bottles of soda. These are things that are constantly having him put things that are cold, liquids, you know, reheating, refilling an urn. These are things that happen all the time. And, you know, people don't realize. So paying as much attention to the detail is how a person's going to be able to navigate this.
Got properly. It. Rabbi Kaufman, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for hosting.
And we look forward to speaking to you again.
Yeah, Mitzvah Shabbat.
Thank you.